Hello and welcome to Jaw Law. I'm your host, Joe McGregor from Dallas, Texas, and today we're going to be catching up from the last year. It has been a long time, my friends. For those of you who used to listen to this show, you will notice that for about a year, we haven't produced any episodes. And it's not because things haven't been changing. It's not because there isn't any news. It's not because there aren't exciting things happening in the dental world. It's just been because we're busy. And in a year where there was much doom and gloom predicted, economic doom and gloom, it is encouraging that we were so busy. So I'd like to talk a little bit about what we've seen over the last year and kind of use this episode as somewhat of a catch-up and what we're seeing in the market today. Before we get started into anything, I wanted to talk a little bit about some things that we're doing here at the firm that are slightly new. There are two things in particular. Number one, we're going to start doing a frequently asked questions Friday. So once a month, on the first Friday of every month, we're going to hop on a YouTube live session. And for about an hour, we're going to ask whatever question you ask us. You'll be able to access our YouTube live by either looking us up on YouTube, finding the Jaw Law podcast channel, or go to jawlawpodcast.com where you'll be able to find us there. But those, again, are going to be the first Friday of every month at 11 o'clock Central Time. The second thing we're going to do, this is a first for us, at least in this format. We've done a lot of things like this, but we've had some thoughts about a practice launch seminar. And this seminar is intended to target anyone who thinks that they might want to own or start a practice within the next 1 to 3 years. We're going to be hosting on September 7th here in Dallas, Texas at our home office. Seats are limited, so there's a registration on our webpage, again, at jawlawpodcast.com or on our regular site, mcgregorfirm.com, although you do have to hit a couple of links to find that there. But this seminar is designed to answer any questions that you have or have had about owning or starting a practice. This is intended to speak to both people who are looking to start a practice, a de novo office, and those who are looking to purchase a practice, and especially those who can't decide which. It's going to be 3 hours on a Saturday morning where you're able to ask any questions you want. We're going to be surrounded with some other experts, people that we have seen in the marketplace offer really good insight and advice. They're not there to sell to you. They're there to inform, to educate. We're really excited about this. The seminar is free, at least this first one is. It may not all be free in the future, but this one is. We are limiting it to 15 persons. So again, you can find the registration on jawlawpodcast.com. All right, so now back to the task at hand. What are the things that we have noticed over the past roughly year, maybe 18 months, 12 months, whatever? What have we noticed in between our last episode and today? I think there are four or five key points that I don't think are going to shock anyone, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Number one, wages are down. Now, there are a lot of reasons why wages might be down, but if you think about it, in no way are wages down good unless you're a practice owner. When you think about inflation and the cost of living going up and up and up, this should be pretty concerning. I think the number one thing that concerns me is that I am now seeing contracts for specialists that are about on par with contracts that I used to see for general dentists 15 years ago. Think about that. People who went to extra schooling are now getting paid the same or similar terms as general dentists did 10, 15 years ago. Why is this? I think one of the things is the prevalence of DSOs. Now, I'm not here to just drag DSOs. The purpose of this episode isn't to say DSOs are good or DSOs are bad. But one thing you have to think about is that DSO money has to come from somewhere. Those shareholders, those private equity groups, they have to get their cash from somewhere. Where are they getting it from? The easiest place in a practice is to get them from you, the provider. This isn't hard. It's not controversial. Doesn't take a mathematician. That's what's happening. This isn't like a scientific, this isn't a stat that I'm about to share, but I would suggest that the rates that I'm seeing right now. Now, remember, we review over 300 dental employment contracts a year. And the rate that I'm seeing now is probably about 5% on average lower than what I saw about a decade ago. Now, maybe you can go to ADA or some other research house and say, Joe, that's not what the stats are seeing. That's what I'm seeing, especially for younger grads. Okay, moving on. Next thing that I'm seeing, lower pricing for practice sales. Now, this is super hard to quantify because each practice is its own thing. This is just a general impression. You know, every time we sell or buy a practice, we have that conversation with our clients to try to understand the economic underpinnings of that transaction. So we know about what percentage of revenues that the purchase price is at. And generally speaking, this year, they've started to creep down a little bit. I don't think that's going to shock anyone, but in years past, we would see higher numbers, sometimes even pretty handsome premiums. But right now, things are kind of regressing just a little bit. They're ebbing back. Now, obviously, pricing is a function of supply and demand. There are a few more practices, it seems, to sell and a fewer number of buyers. And it's interesting because, you know, maybe 2 years ago, there were 20 buyers for every practice that we were seeing. So, no, I'm talking mostly in Dallas, maybe 20 buyers for every practice that sold. There are still more buyers than there are sellers. But it's not like it used. Maybe there's only four buyers, and as long as there's more buyers than sellers, you know, pricing's going to stay relatively healthy. But it's not like it was. People didn't have to just like throw money away just to get the practice. Now, one other thing, and maybe this is an offshoot of that, is we are seeing more jumpstart practices that someone started. And maybe they started a long time ago, and that's another interesting development. But most of these are relatively recent starts. Someone will start a practice, and you know it's just not going the way they thought it would go. It's year five. They're not getting it off the ground, and they capitulate. They give up. They move on. They take it to the marketplace. It's only making $400,000 or five or six, or you know, just it's not meeting their expectations, so it doesn't really matter what it's bringing in, but it's not bringing in a lot. And we classify a jumpstart practice as a practice basically where if the buyer takes over, they're not making the money they want to make. In a lot of cases, they're not making enough to even support themselves. They've got to keep a part-time job while they try to resuscitate this practice. Anyway, we're seeing a lot of those in the marketplace. And we're going to talk about that in a future episode. But generally speaking, we don't necessarily think that's a positive. It can be a positive for the buyer so long as the buyer fully understands what obstacles that practice faced. The next issue is, it's not going to surprise a single person, but we are seeing what I think is more dentist mobility, which is dentists willing to go to new communities to, just to do their thing. And that's awesome. It's awesome that we live in a country and in a market where we can go where the work is. But what this has created is oversaturation in some markets. So if, for instance, Dallas, you know, because this is where we live, if there are 100 jobs and everybody's like, wow, Dallas has 100 jobs open, well, 300 people will move to Dallas for those 100 jobs. And that's kind of what we're seeing. People always ask me, hey, where are the hidden gems? Basically, the hidden gems are the places where people don't usually want to live. And people are also like, how do I avoid saturation? Don't insist on staying in the cities. I know that's hard for a lot of people. A lot of people, if you're not tied down to a certain community, if you're not from a particular community, it's hard to go to these small communities where you just don't know how you're going to fit in, if they're going to have everything you're used to. So if you're from New York City and you're used to having everything at your fingertips, you're not going to want to go to Wichita Falls, Texas, right? Like, I get it. I understand it. But this is a thing that is becoming an issue. We went from practices not being able to find associates, practices in certain places, like the cities, not being able to find associates, and now finding associates pretty easy. And there are other problems in that process. And again, we'll talk about that in a future episode. But the ones that seem to be having the harder times finding associates are in the second tier, third tier, fourth tier communities. Now, this final issue is also about employment. And again, I don't want to be anti-DSO. That's not the point. But what I am saying is that this year has been loud in terms of people expressing disappointment with DSO job situations. Specifically, in the recruitment, a lot of people are made certain promises. They are represented that the practices are a certain way, that they're going to be trained a certain way, they're going to have certain kinds of autonomy. There's just a lot of things that are promised that don't come to fruition. And in a lot of DSO structures, there may not be a tremendous amount of accountability for that. You know, their job is to recruit someone to fill a spot. And so long as that spot is filled, that's it. That's done. They have stopped caring about it. And if you've got a contract that locks you in, even if the situation isn't what was promised or painted as, a lot of times we're not talking about a contractual promise. We're talking about, oh, these are the types of cases you're going to get to do. This is how much training you're going to get. You know, things that we don't typically bake into a contract, those are the things that people are complaining, hey, I got recruited out of school and it was a little lower of pay than I thought, but they said I was going to get a ton of patients and I'd get to learn how to do implants. And it turns out that they can't get me patients, haven't done very many implants or none. I'm just doing basic drill and fill and I'm not making nearly the amount of money that I thought I was, and I'm locked into a two-year contract. So that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of that. Now, that can happen at any practice, right? That doesn't have to be just a DSO. I'm merely saying that my observation over the past year is that when someone calls me with this problem, because the question is always, hey, I'm locked into this two-year contract. Some promises that they made aren't coming to fruition, and I want to know if I can get out of this contract early. So they're asking my legal opinion of whether or not they can break contract. Honestly, most of the times it's no or not very easily. But when I get those calls and I try to think about, okay, who is making this call, it's usually an associate in a DSO office. Now, statistically, that's just going to be the case. There's a lot of people who work in DSO offices. But I guess I'm speaking to the young dentist. Just know that this is a thing, and it seems to not be going away. This is something you're going to need to do better due diligence when you're getting a job. You're going to have to ask better questions. And yeah, maybe even some of these things need to get installed into a contract. But that's it. That's kind of a catch up from the past year. We hope to do these episodes every week. It's not always going to be the case. Sometimes we'll maybe even drop two in a week, but we do hope to be back on track. We've got a little bit better system as to how we can produce these. And as always, if you like listening to these and you find them helpful, please share. We love to get new listeners, and we look forward to catching you on the next episode and maybe even a frequently asked Friday. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.